In light of this past week, which has been very dramatic, as you know, the news all across the nation and all of the events even in our local community, I want to share with you today a prayer and some remarks of a woman of color by the name of Leslie Coleman. In our time of ongoing disorder, Leslie asks the question, "Am I next? Lord, have mercy. George Floyd of Minnesota. George, your nation failed you. Rest in God's peace. Kyrie eleison. Christ, have mercy. Breonna Taylor of Kentucky. Breonna, your nation failed you. Rest in God's peace. Christe eleison. Lord, have mercy. Ahmaud Arbery of Brunswick, Georgia. Ahmaud, your nation failed you. Rest in God's peace. Kyrie eleison. Christ, have mercy. Tony McDade of Florida. Tony, your nation failed you. Rest in God's peace. Christe eleison. Leslie goes on. Four people whom I never knew have been murdered. It is merely the tip of an iceberg. The details of each heinous act are so horrifically unjust that there is no sense to be made of them. Each of the four was victimized. Each of them was black, but their race was not the cause of death. Each was murdered because of the systemic structures that endow white people with an unimaginable authority and privilege based on the perpetuation of lies. The onus is not on the victims, but on the perpetrators and their oppressive, unjust systems. Could I be next? Let us pray. May God grant us the will, the courage, and the resolve to repent of the evil and to amend our law enforcement and judicial systems and our hearts. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, this is Trinity Sunday, one of my favorite Sundays of the year. And I recall that Albert Einstein once made the following statement. Einstein said, "The most beautiful and deepest experience a person can have is the sense of the mysterious." And today on this Trinity Sunday, we're celebrating this mysterious, holy God who is the creator of all and who loves us more than we can even comprehend, and who is present with us every moment of every day of our life and beyond. Although the God of our universe is way beyond our feeble ability to comprehend, we can say that our Judeo-Christian tradition is the account of how God has been interacting with us all down through the ages in a variety of ways. Our Christian faith is the story of how God has made some dramatic efforts to help us to get to know God, our Creator, more intimately, and to participate fully in the life that God offers us. Now, on the individual level, I expect that you and I experience God in our own personal ways. Every person's spiritual autobiography is unique. Parts of your story and parts of my story are very private. And that's good. That's the way it should be. But generally speaking, the church has outlined the three most important ways, basic ways, that we experience God in our lives and in the community and the environment around us. And this is what the Trinity is all about. The Trinity is a basic Christian description of how we experience God. Based on the Bible and based on who we believe God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit to be, the Trinity is a doctrine. It's a statement of who we Christians say God is. Now, what the church says in the doctrine of the Trinity is really pretty basic. It's not that complicated. The church affirms that there is one God, but this one God finds expression in three primary ways. First, as Father or Creator, and God, Jesus referred to as Abba. Second, as Son, Savior, Redeemer. Third, as Holy Spirit, that is, God being active in our everyday lives in the here and now. Way back in the very first book of the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 1, which Elaine read a while ago, we read the ancient story of creation. We read this story where we see God acting as Abba, as Creator, as the birther of all that is. But then, since God wants us to know God on a much more personal, intimate level, so that we can know God's unconditional love for us, God comes to us as the Christ, the outward expression of God the Father. He comes to us as Emmanuel, that is, God with us in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. And so in Jesus, we see God the Son, that is, God in human expression. Down here with us, in the trenches, on our human level, in a way that we can touch and feel, interact with, and listen to, so that we can experience with our own eyes and ears and senses who God is and how much God cherishes us. And so God in Christ, that is the second person of the Trinity, we experience this. But then, after Jesus has finished his earthly ministry and has appeared as the resurrected Lord, after all that has happened, following the day of Ascension, as we celebrated last Sunday at Pentecost, God sends us the Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide and to heal and to be with us each day and forever. And so we have these three persons of the Trinity. One God, three expressions, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, when we think about it, the Trinity is very helpful to us because it helps us to understand our various experiences of God. It helps us to talk about God. For example, sometimes we're like Albert Einstein. We are moved by that awesome, mysterious, profound, indescribable presence who stands behind all that is. We can't perceive God the Creator. But sometimes we can sense God's presence as Creator. And certainly we can be moved by the Creator's work all around us. And so when you enter, say, Glacier Bay in Alaska, and you are moved by the sheer beauty and majesty of that special place, you can affirm the handiwork of God the Creator. Or when you stand at an overlook on the Blue Ridge Parkway out here, and you're moved by the awesome beauty of unfolding range after range of ancient mountains stretching out before you, you can marvel at the power of God to create and to bring forth life all around us, and to do it with such beauty. At moments like this, you find yourself in awe of God the Creator, of all that is, both seen and unseen. But there are other ways we experience God. Let's take another example. Let's say one day you find yourself at a cemetery. Let's say you're standing beside a grave. Or maybe you're out here in our memorial garden, perhaps grieving the loss of someone who is special to you, someone you love. Could be a spouse, maybe a child. And it could be that as you're feeling the pain of loss, that you begin to experience a deep, deep sense of hope and reassurance as you recall those timeless words of Jesus when he says, "Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? That where I am, there you may be also." And although you still feel the pain of loss, nevertheless, your trust in those words of Jesus encourages you as you begin to see in death the gateway to eternal life. Well, at that moment, we could say that you have experienced God as Savior, as Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, who through his death and resurrection reassures us of our eternal life with him and with those we love. But then there are countless other ways we experience God. We often experience God with us, or we experience God healing us, or we experience God embracing us, or God encouraging us in our everyday lives. Maybe at work, maybe at school, something otherwise unexplainable happens that helps us to get through a challenge, or a quandary, or some kind of threatening situation. Or sometimes we may feel ourselves sinking into depression, or being overpowered by some sickness, and we've sought help and we have prayed, but nothing seems to work. Nothing is helping. But then one day, unexpectedly, we sense a power. We sense a presence greater than ourselves who buoys us up and helps us to get to a better place. At that moment, we could say that we're experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit, that third person of the Trinity, who is our guide, who is our source of strength, who is with us every moment of every day. As followers of Jesus, we say there is one God, but that in our life's experience, God reaches out to us in a variety of ways, but primarily, he reaches out to us as Father, Creator, Birther, also as Son, Savior, also as Holy Spirit, Advocate, who is God present with us in the here and now. And so this is what Trinity Sunday is all about. It's a celebration. We're not celebrating a mere doctrine. We're celebrating the one true God and the variety of ways that we experience God. God who is present in our world in three primary expressions: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Today we are facing difficult and threatening times in our world and all across this nation. The coronavirus continues to infect our people and to change our way of living and worshiping and threatening our well-being. In addition to this, folks all across our nation are actively reacting to the systemic and institutional racism and economic disparity that is embedded in our system, our society. Our nation is divided over these things. Even our churches remain hobbled and challenged. But today, on this Feast of Trinity, folks, we have tremendous hope in God's ability to work, and particularly among us. We have confidence today that God is present with us, and the Trinity reminds us of the unimaginable ways and the creative ways God is working right now to bring comfort and solace and to empower His church in new ways to bring about a sense of healing and peace to God's people, and to begin the healing of the hearts and the heart of this nation. As we trust in God's presence in us and working through us, and through the events that are surrounding us, we can take heart in the parting words of the risen Lord in today's gospel, when He makes His very final request of us, when Jesus says, "And always, always remember this, I am with you